very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, The Run Through. This is where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us go, that was a quad toe? I'm Ashley Wagner, and I'm joined by Adam Rapon, and we're here talking the Grand Prix de France.
That's right, Ashley. We're here talking. We're here just, talking the Grand Prix
de France. Two gals chatting. I do want to let it be known right off the bat. We record via Zoom, and I have the Zoom chat open, and Adam has pasted in a photo of the Italian dance team's free dance costumes.
Yes, because I want it to be top of mind, Gignard and Fabri, two Italian robots.
If I were to ever have a robot, I'd want it to be Italian.
I don't know. I'd want it to be... I don't know if the Italians are the ones to make the robot you'd want.
I don't know. Is Mr. Tesla? Tesla. Oh, no.
Mr. Tesla?
Yeah, like Tesla. That feels... Is that not Italian?
Like Elon Musk?
Okay, wait. I have a fun fact that has nothing to do with figure skating that I learned today.
No, but wait. Back up before you get into the fun facts. Wait, are you proposing that Tesla is Italian? There is...
Okay, can I give you my fun fact first?
Yes, okay.
So Elon Musk is not the founder of Tesla. I learned this today. Basically, he became a board member and then pushed out the two main founders and then settled in some court case so that he could be able to call himself founder. But he did not found Tesla, which is why right now I am making the bold presumption that Tesla is Italian. And not wherever the fuck this man is from.
Okay, Ashley, I owe you money, and I owe you a huge apology.
You owe me stock.
So Tesla was founded in July 2003 by Martin Eberhardt and Mark Tarpenning.
Two famous Italians.
Exactly. But its name is a tribute to inventor and electrical engineer Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly like how you said. Nikola Tesla.
Okay. Nikola Tesla. I knew that Nikola Tesla was a person and wrongly assumed that that person was directly involved with Tesla.
And yeah, Wow.
Welcome to your favorite figure skating podcast, where we talk about the stocks you should and should not be buying.
Wow. Ashley, yeah. That's really, I'm like dumbfounded.
I know. It's crazy. It's top of mind. I found that out today. So I do want to just give.
Wait, what were you doing today that you needed to find it out?
I was on Twitter.
Oh, God.
Oh, and it was just you won't believe these things about Elon Musk. And I was like, bet you I won't.
Let me click on them. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So then speaking of Nikola Tesla, the famous Italian inventor, I do believe that I don't think that he would have liked these costumes. For the Gignard and Fabri.
Yeah,
and the
but
dance.
I really want to give them a shout out because you look at them and at first glance, you're like, they're not going to be able to move in those.
Oh,
they have really captured the metallic quality of armor in a way that goes beyond
comprehension.
The dance norm.
No, Ashley, these are, and I'm very sorry to say this, Spirit Halloween. I have really entered my true hater timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I hit my true hater timeline. It was around
2007.
I was going to say January of 2018. And I wouldn't ever admit that it was because I was heartbroken and not made the Olympic team, but definitely was influenced by some trauma. I was actually thinking about this the other day. Uh-huh. I forget who I was watching. Honestly, it might have been Shoma, and I tweeted, "Push, kid, you're too young to go this slow."
Oh my God. Is this in like 2018 you were doing
this? I think, yes. I think I was maybe in the stands of the Olympics.
Oh
live
my
tweeting.
God.
I know. I was a
That's
monster
never good.
Then.
To not be on an Olympic team and be live tweeting at the same time is very, very dangerous.
Dark.
Yes, because I Dark. Did it from the parking lot of a Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf in Manhattan mm-hmm. Beach, California, mm-hmm. sitting in my car. And while I was sitting in my car, I got into a car accident. Parked. I was parked in a parking spot, and I got into a car accident. My driver's side door, me, the driver, smashed in to smithereens.
Wait, I did not know that. Are you okay?
No. You didn't know it because you were competing at the Olympics, and I was live tweeting in a Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf parking lot where I got into an accident where the guy got out of his car, looked at my driver's side door, and said, "Are you sure this wasn't there before?" Him looking at a perfect imprint of his own car in my driver's side door. And I said, "Sir, yes, I am sure," as I looked back at my Jetta, whose hubcaps had been stolen not 2 months before.
I remember you being so pissed about that.
I was so mad. And also, this was, and I'm a good driver. We're talking 10 years ago. This is the last time I've ever had any, and I'm knocking on wood, any driving issues. But do you remember in Lake Arrowhead? I drove back up to the mountain. It was a little bit late, and I pulled into the garage where we were renting an apartment together, and I mm-hmm. cut it too close, and I scraped the entire passenger side of the Jetta. So at this moment in time, picture me. It's February 2014. Ashley's thin as ever. She's winning Olympic medals, and I have a Jetta that is scraped up because I cut it too close, got it going into a garage in Lake Arrowhead, and then having a pity party for myself after my hubcaps get stolen, and then get into a car accident where the car was off.
I mean, to give you some context, at least, like, you didn't not make the Olympic team, and then your cat died a week later.
It's not funny.
R.I.P. to my favorite animal, and I tell it to all of my current pets.
Oh,
you will
God.
Never be Dexter.
Poor Dexter. Oh, okay. That was okay, week later.
1 week later,
it
he
really.
Got hit.
When it rains, it really does pour.
Yeah, yeah. I was done at that point.
Oh my
and
God!
And that's when I started tweeting.
I was tweeting in the parking lot at the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf because I remember, I don't remember what happened, but somebody made a mistake and I tweeted that, you know, oh, I guess falling on this jump gets you a bronze medal, but popping three jumps at nationals gets you in an accident at a Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf.
Which is actually a very funny tweet.
I loved it. And then it was smash, crash. And then the guy was like, "Can we please not do this with insurance?" And I said, "All right.
I'm going to need a new door, sir."
Yeah, let me take it to your place, which I did. I was a little bit naive, but everything got done. He was a professor. Professor X. No.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Professor X, the coolest man alive, I want to talk about the coolest dance team on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the French dance team.
Yes.
I don't feel like we got to spend enough time last episode because they were competing. They were in Skate Canada. They did back to back.
Yes.
I believe their free dance is to Blade Runner. And there is no team on the circuit right now that is more capable of skating a Blade Runner program than them. I love it. She starts with her John Wilsons on his neck. And that's the starting pose. Threat of life I love, they're so cool. They have a straight line lift where she is upside down and it's just, the control is crazy. I saw somewhere on Twitter, skating Twitter is so shady. Someone was like, they remind me of an 80s dance team or 90s dance yes. team and not in a good way.
Oh.
I'm sorry. You agree? I love them.
I do love them because it's like, I like the little throwback of, you know, honestly.
It is very that though.
Not to jump around, but I will be doing that.
Sure.
Oh, Ashley is what I was going to say. Before we dive in, Ashley, I think that we do have an important message.
Oh, we do. We do. Is it coming in live or is it just
It's coming in silent because I asked if this should have news reporting music and we were told that that would be a bit, and I quote, much.
But followed by, but do whatever you want, 2 exclamation points. So this is a test, and
so
we're going to pass
what
it.
What do you think?
Silence. Okay. Shall I read it, or shall you?
Oh, you okay. shall.
Coming in from Sarah Hughes, in case no one got our bit. Goodbye, Brett Summer. Hello, Bratty Somerville Fall. Sarah, that was very clever.
Very good.
Congratulations to Grand Prix France on perfectly mirroring what I hope to see in the presidential race this election week. On one side, a woman with a dedicated group of 2 online stands gets a historic victory, while on the other side, men who have not made enough progress flop their way to mediocrity. It's amazing to have a second chance to avoid the doom of 2016. And I'm not just talking about the election, but also a certain Firebird program in the women's event. I shouldn't be reading this.
Continue.
I have an announcement to make. I have decided that this period of history will be known as the Wakabasance. And what a blessing it is to live through it all with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
I should have read that before.
No, you shouldn't have, because it is much better that you read it.
Yeah.
Now,
Wakaba.
Yeah, Wakaba is in incredible shape. She's doing everything I want her to do. I will say, I'm going to say this, and because I'm in my critical hater timeline,
mm-hmm.
I want her to give that free skate the Wakaba treatment. I want
yeah.
her to give that free skate the first 3 minutes. I want her to give that the Wakaba treatment. And I think that the reason I'm like, come on, girl, is because I know she's going to give it the Wakaba treatment now.
But like the last minute. The last minute is the best part of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs more of the Kate Bush. More Kate Bush.
Yes. But you know what, Ash?
Only Kate Bush.
I think that she's on this like comeback trail, and mm-hmm. it's really important to kind of make sure she's focused and gets the job done. And I think now that she's done that twice now, 2 solid free skates, this one being even better than the one from Skate America, I think she's now going to be able to let go and perform throughout that whole program. When she opens with the double axel and the arms just like
it's so
fiercely
big.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And when she's in it, and then she has to dial it down to make sure she can get through the rest of the elements. And I think
yeah.
that if she was able to keep the performance up, this is one of the programs where it's, you know, this is in the mix to be world champion.
I feel like this World Championships is going to be a really exciting one to watch, because while I truly, truly, truly love Kaori, I think she's kind of flatlining for me mm-hmm. right now. It's just getting a little stagnant, and flatlining sound like really mean ways to describe this.
No,
and
I
can't find one that's
saying.
Like subtle enough. It's just like she's giving the same, and the same has been good enough to be world champion 3 times, so like the same is amazing.
Wait, Ashley, I have to stop you.
What?
I got a message from someone who had a rebuttal to saying that you needed to be no older than 15 and 364 days old to skate to All That Jazz.
Wait, okay, rebuke me.
Okay. Now, this listener wrote to me and they said, I hear what Ashley's saying, but
okay. Hate them already. I want to hear it out.
The theme of Chicago is actually an incredibly mature theme. It was where women were like escaping abusive relationships, but they were paying the price. They were getting not guilty, all of that stuff. These were about women who were thrown into jail for attacking their abusers. And so
I do know the story.
But then it made me think, it was like, you know what? If somebody was able to have like the maturity of not to, but to have sort of like a, to, do you know where I'm going with this? Where it's like,
I do.
There's a mature way.
It's a very mature storyline.
Yes.
It's just been historically really big music that does the work for you, which is why junior skaters skate to it.
It's the Michael Bublé of the women's event.
It's the Michael Bublé of the women's event. That being said, I completely see that point and I agree. But if that's the case, then it needs to be given the Benoit Rochot treatment where it's like, not guilty.
Now, Ashley,
like, it needs that.
Yes, you're complete. It needs.
Like, make it
a mature
the story
edit.
Then.
Yes,
make it the story.
Yes, completely agree. Okay, I'm on your side. Fuck that listener.
Thank you for your input. And honestly,
no, but that's right.
That's what's missing.
That's what's missing. Yeah. We're like, I don't think Cowrie is just skating with music on.
Music is playing and she's skating.
Right.
And
not unlike Bo Yangjin, who said, here's my iPad. Can you just play this playlist and let's just see how this free skate goes? I'm going to just do some stuff. Which was that
I'm
going to
see how it goes. Didn't go well.
No. Now, since we were talking about jail, I think that we should revisit.
Jail time.
Yes. We should revisit the famous Irish lore of dancing being illegal, getting thrown into jail. Now, we brought this up when we talked about Brady Tennell from Skate America.
Wait, can I actually pause you right there?
Yes.
I texted this to the group chat, but I want to publicly talk about this because I think it's so funny. I got a DM from Brad Griffiths himself, and he sent me one of the Irish step dancing costume videos that Adam was talking about, and I had never seen it before, but it's some tween dead in the eyes, hair huge, cape heavy, and it just drops to the floor and goes, flap.
Wait, Ashley, you've never seen these?
No, my algorithm doesn't do it. But anyway, Brad Griffiths, shout out to you for like owning what is funny in this world.
For owning your feed, because I needed to own my feed.
I'm going to order an Irish step dancing costume
now,
from Brad Griffiths.
Ashley, I'm almost certain it's an Irish step dancing school that is Instagram posting these, not individual people. And I think that they're showing the new costumes of the dancers from the school.
Then I need to go to this school.
Patrick McNulty, he's making my dress this year. And then it's complete. There's like no sort of production put into the video. It's like silence behind like a
black
brown
sheet.
Yes. And then it's untie the cape. Thud! Thud! Those crystals go crashing to the ground. Now that we're on...
Okay, how are you connecting Irish? People are like, how are they still talking about this?
Oh, I could talk about it for hours, days even. We should do another podcast.
We have talked about it for days.
Okay, so remember when we were talking about how when Brady is skating her Irish program, it does look like she's marching.
She's not afraid of jail time, yeah.
No. But she's not dancing fast enough to get thrown in jail.
It's so true. It's right. It's the middle line.
But Sarah Everhart. Sarah Everhart is dancing fast enough to get thrown into jail. Okay. She is. Which is why.
Sarah, okay, while you get it together, Sarah
Everhart is dancing fast enough to get thrown into jail, and that's why she is stoic, because she knows
ice. They're going to cuff her and walk her up the stairs. Oh, my God. Sarah Everhart is actually, like, I really do love her skating.
Me
I, like,
too.
Is she dead in the face?
Yes.
Stone cold. Stone cold. But I'm excited about her. I really am.
Okay, I'm going to say this. Sarah Everhart gives you no reason to review any of her jumps.
No.
Which is a huge feat. Those jumps are beautiful. They're so squeaky clean. And when the jumps are clean like that and there's nothing for the judges to review, it's so easy to give them such incredible GOE.
Yeah. She's not going to get the second mark right now. But, like, I feel... Saying this is an eye roll because it's very obvious that she idolized Gracie, but I see a lot of like myself in a skater like her because she's coming onto the circuit and she is a more technical skater, which believe it or not, during my day, I was a technical skater to begin and couldn't do a crossover to save my life.
But you know what, Ashley? I learned. Do you remember when we were doing the commentary for Nationals? She very openly was like, Ashley Wagner is my favorite skater.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yes. So Ashley,
I blacked that out. When people say nice things about me, I honestly don't receive it. But if you're mean to me, I'll never forget.
Yes.
And I'm working on that in
so
therapy.
She told us, like in her like pre-Nationals interviews, we didn't do them. They were in in the bios that we received.
Yeah.
That you were her favorite skater. And that's why I was like, oh, it's so funny that she's skating like a Gracie Gold tribute. But one, that Gracie's Firebird program, I'm sorry, Ashley.
Legendary.
I loved that. I loved that. That's one of the best.
No, I think that that is one of her best programs of all time. I am far enough out of it now that I can look at that program and be like, no, that was really good.
It's different than being so close to it and going, I do not like this.
I mean, being so close to it, I was like, I hate this little egg dropping part in the middle of our footwork. And now I'm like, drop that egg. Yes.
But you know what? Somebody like Sarah, it makes a lot of sense that you can tell that she is more technical and that she's not fearlessly performing.
No.
And I think that when you are
she's
a skater,
fearfully performing.
She's very fearfully performing.
Of the police.
I think when you're a skater like that, it is best to skate to music from programs that you liked and from skaters that you liked to watch, because it makes it easier for you to interpret.
And understand the music. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think it's a good decision for her right now. I think when you make moves like that, it does make you look younger and more immature, which she does a little bit on the ice. But it's important because it's like a stepping stone in somebody's development of how they develop as a performer. And I think that, you know, it's a good idea for her to skate to music that I think she's obviously listened and she's liked other skaters skating to before, which is why she has this Irish-themed short program and she has the Firebird.
Firebird, yeah. She, I would put money on this. She's going to be sneaky.
I was just going to say this. She's the dark horse.
She's going to be the dark horse because I think that we get a little bit spoiled with some young skaters coming onto the senior circuit and they have all this hype. And so they have this like rock star first Grand Prix season. Like think Nina Pinzeroni. Like skaters like that, where there's so much of a buildup, they have an amazing, flashy Grand Prix season. It's the ones who you kind of sleep on, and they're quiet at first, and they're not maybe the most memorable performer, but they're getting used to competing under pressure, and they get experience, and that's where you see longevity. I see her being a skater to watch.
I even think it's if there are three spots to the Olympics in Milan,
Could be her.
I think that she's a dark horse for one of those spots because
could be her. Yep.
She does all of these incredibly clean and well done elements that a few mistakes from some of the girls for a season will have her averaging out better skates.
Sarah's going to stand up.
She's going to stand up. And I think,
yeah,
you know, it'll be interesting to see because she just like she seems very solid. And so that's why I do think that like she's absolutely for me like in the mix.
I completely agree.
To maybe be on the world team this year, but really don't count her out of that Olympic conversation.
I would love to see her on the world team this year. I think that would be really, really... It would be a smart opportunity for U.S. figure skating to get her that kind of exposure.
I think that it would... she has the potential to be on the world team. And there's a lot of skaters that also... A lot of American women who have the potential to be on the world team. But she... I think to just kind of echo what you're saying is that it is interesting because there is less fanfare around her. Where she has this kind of upper hand where there is a little bit, there's less pressure that's being put on her. And so she is able to focus. And like you said, she's able to learn how to compete, what it's like in these situations with less eyes on her. So that.
Well, I mean, think Elise Lynn Gracie.
Right.
Exactly. Elise Lynn Gracie had an amazing summer comp and really struggled on the Grand Prix circuit. And coming into this season, she was, you know, the girl to watch. And that's not to say that she's like, it's done, it's over. She's never going to be there. That's not what I'm saying.
But it's just to show that's what pressure can be like.
Pressure does that for these younger athletes. And I did not come onto this circuit with a lot of fanfare. I was always the fourth place girl, like always third, fourth. And I got to grow up and get used to the spotlight without the world watching. Mm-hmm. And it paid off in a big way. So,
okay, Ashley, this is actually leading me to a conversation I wanted to have because I famously kind of left Twitter, also known as X.com, when Elon Musk took it over as sort of a stance that I took personally where I was like, I think it's time for me to go. It's time for me to bow out.
Yeah.
Now, I have eaten crow and I've found myself back on Twitter. I refuse to tweet, but I have not refused to read. And that would be my next step, but I'm reading. And so being back on Twitter, I've seen some of the discourse in the figure skating Twitter world. I'm scared to go too deep into it because it is sort of a track that
it's a rabbit hole and it goes downhill fast.
Yes.
And I saw the other day that someone thought that Stefan Lambiel dated Elisaveta Toktomysheva for a while.
I just saw that and I went, it's time for me to log out. There's been too much internet today for everyone. It's time for Spectrum, AT&T, Verizon. It's time for them to pull the plug on a few people.
Yeah.
Now, some of the discourse was that the women's event was regressing.
Yeah.
And I think after this French event, the men's event was regressing. Now, here, I have some stuff that I'd like to say about this.
Okay, go for it.
Now, I think that what the athletes are being asked to do now is totally different than what they were asked to do 4 years ago, what they were asked to do 8 years ago, what they were asked to do 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think that it's pretty normal to see some events where everybody skates well. I've been in events where everybody hasn't skated well, and it's been a bad event. I also think that the technical demands of what the athletes are doing, it goes up and down, and that's always been the case. I mean, Midori Ito landed the first triple axel in 1989. Tanya Harding landed one in 1991. And then it wasn't until a random Skate America that Ludmila Neladina from Russia, the worst skater I've ever seen in my life, landed one in the first warm-up of a Grand Prix, followed by Yukari Nakano. Now, let's not forget, 1998, Tara Lipinski, she wins the Olympics. She does a triple-triple in the second half, a loop-loop. Now, we get 4 years later, Sarah Hughes does two triple-triples. Now let's go 4 years later after that. Shizuka Arakawa doesn't do a single triple-triple and she does a double loop and she wins. Okay? What they were all asked to do was very different. Shizuka was skating in a new system that had that required her to do four leveled spins and two leveled footwork sequences, one leveled footwork sequence and a leveled spiral sequence. That is a completely different layout where there's like no room to just skate and to perform to music without worrying about if transitions would count. And so what she was asked to do was more complicated and it was challenging in a way that isn't like recognizable to the viewer. I remember watching, I'm on a soapbox right now,
yeah,
by the way.
I'm watching.
I remember watching an interview with Rosalind Sumners, who was an Olympic medalist. Are you familiar with her, Ashley?
I know who Rosalind Sumners is.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, if there are any listeners who don't, she's an Olympic medalist from the United States, 1984. She's a silver medalist. And there's an interview that she gave where she said that, like, the secret to making it through a program was her secret was always breathing in the spins. And
wow, what a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. Now, let's go fast forward a little bit where you cannot breathe in these spins. These spins are incredibly hard, so difficult. You have to do all of these like butterflies and jumps and hops in them. So that breathing room is gone. But let's just fast forward it a little bit where people have acclimated to the new judging system. Now, again, Timothy Gable, he does three quads at the Olympics in Salt Lake City. In 2006, Yevgeny Plushenko only does one. And then in 2010, Evan Lysenchek wins the Olympics, not doing any. They were following the rules. They were doing what the rules and where they were like guided to do. They were skating in a way that would gain them the most amount of points.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
That's what I always say.
So in the men's event, you saw a lot of people. And like this is the era of like where I was growing up, where it was like, don't work on a quad. Make sure that you can skate really well because you know who's winning worlds? Evan Lysacek, Jeffrey Buttle. Yevgeny Plushenko is winning the Olympics with one quad now. He's not trying to. It was a completely different landscape, and that's what we all focused on when we got back to work. So then the next people coming up, you'd look at like Unikim and Mawasada. When they were doing different spins, I remember Unikim doing a sit spin where she's just like put her arms behind her back and she like lifted them up. Right in a sit spin. And that was considered a difficult variation. It's not very difficult. And this isn't to be like, she wasn't doing something hard. It's me saying she held that for 8 revolutions. And that was
and
when
it counted,
she could breathe.
And that was the rule. Yeah.
So she could breathe. Now these programs looked also a lot cleaner because if you remember somebody like Yuna would do 5 or 6 big, beautiful, fast crossovers into a huge triple-triple combination. And that whole thing was so impressive. Now, a lot of skaters would get dinged and they'd be called skaters who are not doing any transitions. And I think that what Yuna did is very beautiful and classic. And I think a lot of what we see now is like a lot of sophisticated kind of bullshit. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't have any sort of like musicality to it. It's just being thrown in to be like, look at me, I'm doing all of this flashy stuff before things.
Look at all these boxes that I'm checking for the sake of getting the points that I want.
Exactly. And so then when you look at what are the programs that like Yuna and Mao needed to do, there was a leveled spiral sequence in there. So that's already maybe 25-30 seconds of where a skater is in a static position, holding something nice, breathing. And also it gives some cleanliness to the program. I hate these programs where there's nonstop fucking junk bullshit, turn, no crossovers, whatever. I understand the complexity of the transitions and all of that stuff, but like there's something to be said about beautiful classic skating, and also just throwing in all this stuff doesn't lead to a nice program. I think what the skaters are being asked to do now is really difficult and also really ugly. I think to get a level 4 spin, you need to do a lot of things that are not aesthetically pleasing. And also, I'm going to go a step further and say, Ashley, like when you have an open door, there's a different level of pressure that you have with that open door, right? If you go into a competition, when I would go into a Grand Prix, I knew that like, okay, whomever it was, whether it be Yuzuru Hanyu, Javier Fernandez, Nathan Chen, I'm going to do everything I can so that I can get a silver medal. That's, I just, mm-hmm. I knew that.
Yeah.
Now, when a lot of these women are coming into these Grand Prix, they know the door is wide open and any one of them could be the champion. Mm-hmm. And any one of them could change the tide of their entire career. Every skater yeah. out there needs every point. And mm-hmm. so you're seeing sloppy performances, but you're also seeing ugly elements that are not the skater's fault. A lot of this is the fault of like the system that you're seeing right now. I believe that we should not have leveled footwork. We should not have leveled spins. I do not like it at all. I think it leads. I think if you're a figure skating judge, you know what clean turns look like. You know yeah. what beautiful spins look like. You know what the elements are supposed to look like. And if I can't pat my stomach, rub my head, do American Sign Language in the middle and spin on my toe pick, then jump onto my heel and then lift it to my head, that doesn't make me a good spinner. It makes me somebody who's like clever.
I think that you make a good point. I think that there's systems in place so that there's less up to the judge's discretion. And I think that we unfortunately have a culture within this sport, not going to name names, but they're not allowed to compete right now, where judging will be all over the place if you allow a system where you take out major levels there. Because then someone who's doing some bullshit ugly spin, a judge can just award it the same. Like, imagine, I'm trying to think, okay, how about this? My spins aren't leveled. And Karen Chen spins aren't leveled. There is no universe where my spins should be scored the same way as Karen Chen's.
But they wouldn't. Chen, so like, let's say for instance.
But using politics, they could be. And I that's think, where I'm like, that's not safe because I should never get Karen Chen spin points ever.
But okay, but then let's look at it. You were able to do a level 4 layback and so was Karen. But at the time, when the scores were only a -3 to a +3, Karen would walk away from the event with +3s across the board on the same element that you did, that you'd get +1s and 2s. So you were judging the same element. And I think that if they weren't leveled, you'd get the same sort of thing. Like, it's only a matter of time until every skater is going to do a level 4 spin again.
Well, they need to stop changing the spin requirements. They change them so constantly, and the people that are making these decisions have not done any of these spins. They have not actually, I'm not convinced they've been on the ice in decades. And so I feel like we're really pigeonholing the options that skaters have in order to even try and get a level 4. So spins either all look the same or they're all like just hideous variations. That like heel pop variation right now, someone's gonna break their ankle.
Yeah.
And beyond that, it's just, it's not, it doesn't ever, there, sure, there's an environment where that would make sense, but I haven't seen it used where I'm like, yeah, that because makes sense there.
There, like, it's just, it's like there was a skater, his name was Ilya Klimkin. And he would do little weird things like that, but that was his style. Mm-hmm. It made sense with what he was doing. And it was cool. And I looked forward to watching him do these different, like, interesting things that, like, nobody else would do. I remember he also did, like, a camel spin. He went into, like, an upright position, and then he, like, swung his leg through and did a triple sow cow from a camel spin. Like,
oh, my God.
He was nuts. That's but it was crazy. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
So, but why are we leveling the spins and why aren't we leveling the jumps? Like, what stopped us from leveling the jumps? Because they'd be ugly, right? But the spins have gotten to that point. And when I remember, like, footwork that, like, flew and sore, I remember Michelle Kwan and her East of Eden short program yeah. flying across the ice. I remember Alexia Gudin's footwork from his winter short program in Salt Lake City. I remember Katarina Witt. I wasn't alive, but I remember watching it. 1988 short program footwork where she like just ends at the end of the wall. Like, there was creativity that was there, and it's with all of like what's required, I don't know if it's really necessary. I don't think that the levels are necessary, and I think that they like eat up. I think that also what's required of these jumps, like we talked about it last week, of what a sequence is and what a combination is. Like you're making people do a jump element that instead of the jump taking 3 to 5 seconds, it's now taking 5 to 7. So it's taking too long. There's like a, you can taste in your mouth that something's not right. And I just think that like it's overcomplicated. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. I agree with you. I just think you have to, the whole point of this current system is to, I think, put up some safeguards. And so you have to keep those safeguards in place, but you have to expand them a bit. I just think that skating is too rigid in what classifies as the highest level of spin and what you need to do to get a level 4 on your footwork. But then again, that being said, like if you're gonna kind of take that approach and apply it to dance, I feel like in dance, obviously the focus is completely different from pairs and the singles disciplines, but like it pushes the dancers to get on those deeper edges, to see those more difficult transitions and connecting steps, and you're just not getting that in the other disciplines. And I think it's because everything's kind of just becoming a checked box now.
Well, I mean, even with the character step, Ashley, like that character step in the dance is the worst thing that's happened to ice dance ever. It's awful. It is so terrible. And those grubby little paws that go on the wall, like that was a travesty when people started touching the wall on purpose.
Every podcast episode, Adam is going to make a push to let it be known that this should be taken out of sport.
I'm just sort of like, I need everyone to know. Also, wait, Ashley, okay, I'm off my soapbox. Take what I said with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I think I want to do an episode where I dig into what I think they should do.
Sure.
Before I get run out of town.
yes.
I want to say something. I want to shout out some of the crazy program themes that I've heard this season. Mm-hmm. One of them being Anastasia Gubanova, whose free skate was, "I got shot out of Earth and I'm trying to find my way back to it," by Adam Solia.
Isn't that basically the theme of like gravity?
No, she got shot out of Earth, is what they said. Out of Earth into the universe. And she's trying to find her way back.
Via spaceship.
It does. You know, here's the thing about Gubanova is that she, it doesn't. She has given you all the artistic expression she will ever give. And so she has kind of formally resigned.
I love her.
I love her. And I'm not, this isn't like me complaining about it, but this is me going, yeah, I get it, girl. I was shot out of Earth, too.
Yeah.
I was
relatable
shot out of Earth.
Queen.
Now, we didn't talk about it before, but Nina Pinzeroni's Handmaid's Tale. Ashley, do you know what the theme is? It's really
Wait,
good.
I have to own up to something. So we were talking about Nina Pinzeroni in the Skate America episode, and I was talking about Benoit's music cuts being, like, so random. And you were like, yeah, like, chair, table. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Because I hear that and I'm like, that's some Benoit BS. And then I'm watching this program and I'm like, oh, wait, Adam was quoting the music. Yeah. Chair.
A table.
Table.
When she puts those two heels into the ice with her two toe picks facing the ceiling, I'm like, don't do that.
I love it.
I don't. But I will
and
say
I
this.
And I say stay there.
I will say this about Nina Pinzeroni. The way that she is dressed, she really wanted to go to every event and tell every girl, you're poor. Because
it's the most expensive looking plain dress. And
that short program dress is gorgeous. These are the nicest dresses of the season. no questions asked for me. Yeah. There's no questions. This is these
her
are the most
styling this season is good.
It's very good, and it's, she always had beautiful costumes. Like I always remember going, like I always remember thinking, oh, those are really beautiful. She really specifically looked into the camera lens at me, and she went, "You're poor. You're in a Lululemon sweatsuit." And I went, "What?"
And you said, well, what's the story of what you're skating to?
And she said, I'm a girl on a boat who died.
Wait, when was there a boat?
It doesn't matter, Ashley. In skating, it doesn't matter.
No, listen, I'm getting close to the microphone. Benoit.
No, wait, Ashley.
Okay, wait. I have a Benoit story for everybody.
Okay.
And Sarah Hughes can vouch for me. It was 2017 Worlds. We're in Finland. It's after the event, and Sarah Hughes, not Olympic champion, I are at a bar, and Benoit comes in, and we're chatting, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Has anyone ever told you?" I'm going to say this in my French accent, and I'm sorry. He goes, "You look like Dory," and I said, "I'm sorry, what?" And he goes, "You look like Dory," and Sarah goes, "Like the fish?" And he goes, "Yes." And I haven't spoken to him since.
Okay. Now, honestly, if you were to do a Finding Nemo themed free skate.
Fierce.
Yeah, because you would have had the blue dress with the yellow accents.
I think he was saying that my buck teeth look like.
Oh, my God. Like an Ellen DeGeneres voiced
fish. Fish beak. No, Benoit, I do appreciate what you've done with men's figure skating, but what you have done with women's figure skating, where's the boat? When did she die?
Well, also Rion Sumiyoshi, who, I love.
Quanto,
and also
hello.
These Japanese women, again, this is what I mean. When the door is wide open and it seems like nobody wants to walk through, it's because they all know it's open. That's what's happening. And there are three Japanese women who need to like step through the front door. Kaori has the biggest advantage. She's the three-time world champion. But the Japanese could sweep the world podium. They could mm-hmm. sweep the world podium. They're almost sweeping all of the Grand Prix medals at this point.
Yeah.
And Rion, I can't remember exactly what her theme is, but it's like she's like a plant demanding water or nutrients or something.
So it's Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes. And I kind of love it. It's a horticulture sort of themed program.
We don't have enough of those.
No, we don't. I'm trying to think of, oh, so now that we're kind of on themed programs and costumes, I'm going to skip over to the men's event quickly. We didn't even talk about Amber.
I was just about to say, can we talk about Amber really quickly?
Yes.
Not really quickly.
Yeah, like we have to skirt through it, the champion of the event.
No, the champion of the event. That short program, hell yeah.
That short program so reminded good. Me of when I was young and I would watch the Grand Prix on ESPN. And it was mm-hmm. like, that was exactly what a short program was. A check in, check out. Like she was in it, she was out of it, and it was just so it happened and
it was easy. She got her job done.
Yes. It just loved reminded that. Me of like so focused, clean, in, out, done. You know, the music isn't like big and bold. It's subdued, but I think it's one of those things where it really highlights like, no, I'm in, I'm out. And so I liked it a lot, and she skated incredibly well.
Yeah. She is going to lose a world title if she skates a free skate like that.
Yeah.
And I don't want that for her, which is why I'm saying it now. Mm-hmm. Because I want her to... I would love to live in a world where Amber Glenn is a world champion. I really would.
It's realistic.
It's realistic, but I'm concerned that she can't skate two clean programs. And that's going to... really come and get her when all of us want it the least. You know, I'm really worried that she's getting... Okay, I'm just going to say it. I'm frustrated because she's getting rewarded and getting these amazing like career accomplishments with like an amazing program and a meh program. Mm-hmm. And I want her to be able to sit in the kiss and cry after a skate and be like, yes, it's coming my way. I'm going to win this. I feel so, like, I want that for her.
Right.
And you watch her in the Kiss and Cry thinking she's lost it. Mm-hmm. And then she finds out that she is a first-time Grand Prix champion. Like, I want her to put together two clean programs. I'm really excited for her. I don't want to take away from that. I think, like, she is Grand Prix champion quality. She should be a Grand Prix champion. Mm-hmm. Like, about time. Glad you did it. I don't want her to lose a world championship because she's not putting together clean programs.
The thing is, Ashley, and I'm just completely, I'm agreeing with you, is that when I feel like, now this is like kind of, this is a more general point, not like about Amber, but I feel like if you've had success and you haven't done it in a way that's like, incredibly joyous, right? Where it's like you've skated the two clean programs and you're like, I've done it. It can lead to, when you're in the moment and when you're at those bigger events like an Olympics or a world championships, where you go, okay, yeah, I have all of these titles, but I haven't done it. And that's when it catches up. Yeah. And it's like, that's why I also want to see her skate these programs cleanly. Like, at the end of the day, is it just that she was the champion? Of course it was. She had that giant lead.
She had an eight-point lead.
And she didn't make giant mistakes. She had, you know, two little mistakes and one fall, which is too many. But at the end of the day, it still ends up having her be the champion. But it gets scary when it's like, okay, the pressure's on and everybody skated well.
Haven't thrown down two programs.
Yes.
Like this.
That's the point you're making that I'm just echoing.
Yeah. That's my only concern. I don't know. I also think, like, I'm harder on her and my expectations of her for no reason other than I really like the skating that she's putting out when she skates well. And I just want to see her put it together. And I'm nervous because I'm not going to say like the athlete, but I, you know, grew up with an athlete who was rewarded for not putting it together. And when it came time to really like go and grab what absolutely could have been theirs, they crumbled.
I wouldn't even say it's like being rewarded. It's
like the wrong word. It's the wrong word.
Because it's things.
She's still earning it. Like, she deserves to win.
Things worked out, but not in the way that you dream of it working out. And I think this goes back to the point of like Sarah Everhart kind of being like the underdog. Like, what are we talking about? Where it's like you have the opportunity to like gain momentum that's really true. Confidence building things. Like, if you have a lot of clean programs in a competition under your belt, then all of a sudden when the door is open, you've done it so many times where it's like you're nervous, but you've done it a million times. You know that you can
you can trust.
But when the results have worked out in your favor, and you may not have necessarily skated your best, when you need to skate your best, you don't really have anything to trust.
It's harder to access that belief in yourself.
And that's what I mean. And that's, I think, what you're trying to also say of like, there were a lot of times, and, you know, you had mentioned it, that like you were known as a technical skater. You weren't really an artistic skater in the beginning of like your senior debut. Mm-hmm. And so you had a lot of clean programs under your belt before you were like threatening to win a Grand Prix or to win a national title or to win a world medal. Like, you had skated clean a lot in competition, so it wasn't a new concept to you.
Yeah, when it was time for me to go after something, I knew I could access it because I'd done it before. And I knew how to fight. And yeah, that I think you all get what we're trying to say.
Right.
We're not like,
no,
boo,
we're not
Amber. We love her. We're
no,
obsessed
we love
with her.
But like, we want that for her because we also just, we want, like, she's completely capable of having two programs where everybody's standing on their feet at the end of them. And we don't need to sit and know. And then when you sit in the cry, you go, no matter what the result is, I couldn't have done any more. And it's a really liberating feeling, like, as an athlete to just like let go and be like, it just, I know that I left it all out there and
yeah.
And whatever. But
yeah, I don't know. I also think, like, and this just comes from, like, very real life experience, like competing alongside Gracie for as long as I did and seeing how 2016 impacted her, like, it just makes me so nervous. And obviously they're two completely different people. I'm not making that comparison, but I don't want to see any athlete be like, oh, I could have had it, and be devastated mm-hmm. by not accessing that fight within them. I don't want that to happen. And that's what makes me nervous.
I think we just want to see what we know she's capable of doing. And I think, like, yeah. as, you know, sideline, you know,
has-beens,
sideline has-beens, we just want to see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. That's
now
all.
Let's skip over to the men quickly.
Dying mid ice. Can we talk about that? I got a tweet asking about that.
Okay.
So Adam Xiaohinfa skated to Dune, and honestly, like, I just want to say this: was that program, like, good? Technically, no. But can you imagine when he has the quads that are supposed to be in there, and the program is kind of composed and trained to its fullest potential, mm-hmm. that's going to be a good program.
I mean, Adam is, like, an incredible performer. And I think that from what I have heard, I think that he has, like, two different short programs that he's going to, like, alternate between this season.
What? That's fun.
I think that's not a good idea.
Okay.
I think that, like, you know what I mean? Like, you need to have these, like, in your bones. They need to be, these programs need to be, like, cellular. Unless something is just, like, not working out and it's like, oh, we need something fresh. Then that's when you change it, right? Like, you had that when you were like, I just need something fresh, when you went to the Olympics in 2014 and you went back mm-hmm. to an old free skate. Mm-hmm. But you went back to something that wasn't new. You went to something that was, like, in your bones already.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point.
And I think that, like, if you don't give yourself the opportunity to, like, really let the choreography sink in and become you, and you're just going between two different programs, you're not able to, like, train the one thing, which arguably I'd say the short program is the most important thing for Adam, because he knows that he can pull it together in a free skate. He's pulled up from the bottom of the pack to win events, to medal at events multiple times. If anything, the short program should be the thing, like, let's hammer this home so that we're not having to play catch up.
Yeah. Or you could say it's fresh every single time.
That's what a dancer, that's what, like, my first coach would have said when she said, we never do full run throughs because I want it to feel fresh when you go.
You said, but I feel like I'm having a heart attack.
I'd say, what's the opposite of fresh? That's how I feel at the end of my program in Alpharetta, Georgia. The short program costume. Now I've really become, like, a costume guy. Adam Xiaohinfa, I saw myself in him when he skated that costume, because I went, that's exactly the way that I looked when I left H&M for the first time. And that costume is the nicest $35 money can buy, where it's a sleeveless hoodie and a black shirt underneath.
What do you think of a faux hoodie moment?
I hate it. And you know what? I hate it even more is that he had such beautiful, elegant costumes last year. So this isn't like a taste level. This is a taste level thing. This isn't like somebody who just, like, doesn't get it at all. He had beautiful costumes.
Yeah, he did.
And now he's
wearing
a hoodie.
Maybe this was the, like, backup short program. Maybe we get a better.
I hope this is the backup costume, which, AKA, it looks like he could go to the gym after.
Maybe he did.
Maybe that's why the free skate went better, because he went to the gym right after.
Okay, mid-ice, he dies. I really want to understand the rules around falling, because he lays on the ice.
Yes, the rule is that if it shows the intention is choreographic intent, they're not going to call it a fall. If the skater lost balance, that's when a fall is called.
I'm going to repeat this. I'm going to repeat myself from our first episode of the season. If my tits are on the ice, I'm not getting back up.
I think I said this in that episode where I demanded every choreographer I ever worked with, a choreographer's dream. I said, we're not doing any lunges in the middle. I'm not bending my knee all the way
but
to
see,
rise up.
But see, at least
up.
You were honest. The number of illusions that Shay Lynn Bourne put in my program when I was like, yes, that's so good. Came
it's
home,
so
never trained
funny.
Them
Is
once.
That
they
the
got
illusion.
Taken out immediately.
The illusion was so, that was my breath. Like you.
If I have to alley-oop on the ice, I'm not doing it.
Oh, again, another thing for the skaters. Stop doing cartwheels. Stop. Look to the greats. Did they do cartwheels? No. Maybe you shouldn't either. I saw one thing that I really need to talk about.
Wait, what?
The Mrazics, the Czech brother-sister team.
Yes.
They do cartwheels, and one, it kind of works for me. All right. But they did something in the rhythm dance that I didn't notice the first time when I saw it, and I have to say something. Hmm. She has a skirt, and when they're doing, help, I need somebody, they're doing their yes. thing. Yeah. There's a point where I don't know if that's the music that's playing, but they're skating backwards, and she's in front of him, he's behind her, and they're uh-huh. apart. They're doing like their choreographic dance sequence, you know, that I fucking hate.
Yeah.
Not them, everyone.
Yeah.
And in it, he flips her skirt up.
Mm.
And I have to say something. Sir, that's
Brother,
your sister.
Don't do that.
That's your sister. Keep her skirt down.
Well, can we?
Can we what, Ashley?
Can we as a people stop being like, it's fun to flip women's skirts? I feel like messaging, regardless of relation, is bad. But then when you bring in the brother element, it's not great.
I am so down for you. It's not fun to flip a woman's skirt.
I'm not having fun.
Don't flip your sister's skirt.
Keep
you know what you should
hands
flip?
Off your sister's skirt.
You should
I'm
flip.
A mother now. I can tell you this.
Don't flip your sister's skirt. Flip the state of Florida to blue. Flip Texas. But do not flip
your
sister's skirt.
Skirt. The name of the episode.
I think that's a good name.
Do not flip your sister's skirt. I had something else that I needed to say. Pairs.
I didn't watch it.
Watch
because
it.
I'm going to say this. Peacock, enough. It's, what are we doing? Can we please keep it on a little bit longer than 10 minutes after the event ended?
I have only seen Haza and Volodin because the gala had the champion programs. So I've only seen... They're
and
free
you
skate.
Are a sucker for watching the gala at the Grand Prix events.
I actually watched a decent amount. We have to talk about this.
Okay.
But to the pair skaters, I want you to do a program, and I want you to send someone up into the stands, like above the eye line of your coach. I want them to film your program from above. Because you think some of this choreography looks good because at coach eye level, it looks fine. But as soon as you get a foot above where your coach can see, it is not good. It is not pretty. Your toes are flexed. Your knees are bent at weird angles. And I bet you the dancers are considering every single angle of their choreography.
No, they're not.
I don't see why.
Because they're looking at the judges when they do that fucking god-awful character step.
There's
here's an idea.
For pairs to not look like dance, and it's bad. And I don't like watching it. I hate watching pairs, and I wish that wasn't the case because I used to like it. I used to love watching pairs, and it's just not fun to watch.
I just think that right now everything is overcomplicated. They've overcomplicated
yeah.
everything.
Maybe it's not their fault.
I think it's. Let's not blame them because sometimes they're going out, they're doing side-by-side double sow cows, which I could talk about till the cows come home.
Moo.
They're coming home. I think that like what the skaters are being asked to do is like it's just, it's not
too hard.
It's not even too, it's like not even too hard. It's just not pleasing to watch. It's not enjoyable.
It's not for us.
No. And it's not for them either, which is the problem.
No, that is true. Okay. I inquired about some questions, concerns from the audience. Do you want to hear any of them?
I do.
Someone said, why aren't more people skating to the Dune soundtrack? And I would say,
who would be left? It's almost the entire event.
Everyone is skating to this. Like, the epidemic of flesh-colored gloves.
It's true. This is honestly truly terrible, Ashley. Even some of our favorites, Wakaba, in the Wakabasance, is wearing a flesh-colored glove in the short program. But in the free skate, I will say she redeems herself by having, as I said you should, long sleeves into a colored glove of the same long sleeve material. Enough with the gloves.
Someone wants to know who's holding Sarah hostage.
We are. Actually, I have an update about Sarah that I want to share with the audience. You may not know this, but Sarah... she broke her foot. And
she showed me, wait, this is the best part about her broken foot. She showed me the x-ray and I said, Sarah, why does your foot look like an American Girl doll foot? And she said, it's the angle. I've seen her feet. They don't look like American Girl doll feet, but.
So Sarah, and I know that she's going to, eyes rolling to the back of her head that we're bringing this up, but we think that everyone should know and we should be transparent in what's happening. And it's that Sarah has a broken foot that she was mistaking as just plantar fasciitis. She still does have that, but now she also does have a broken foot.
Not listing her medical diagnoses.
So we asked the audience.
This is not a HIPAA compliant podcast.
So we asked the audience to please, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And yeah, Sarah does have a broken bones. I would even say, go as far as saying, we've seen the x-ray, Ashley, floating bones.
It's an island.
And she's still allowed, she's now in a cast. And that's not because that was her choice. There's just kind of nothing they can do. And that's sort of a quote from the doctor. And so.
It's a official medical diagnosis.
And so we here at the Run Through are thinking of Sarah and her
plantar fasciitis broken foot.
We are thinking of her plantar fasciitis broken foot. And we wish her well. And we hope that by the time she does recover from this, she will be here. But until then, we'll be giving you health updates and proclamations.
With that. Does that feel like our episode?
I think it does. I think ending it on Sarah's health is the best way to end this. What a joy it's been. And I think we covered maybe about 5 skaters, but I think that's what we
about
wanted
how many
to
we
do.
Saw.
Yes.